to Winnipeg, Manitoba. John,
we're continuing to airamerica.com. How are you? Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on. I'm doing pretty good, I guess, overall. I mean, my private life here isn't too bad, but I see our world falling apart. And, you know, in my opinion, I unfortunately don't know you too well, so hopefully I won't overstep my bounds and lose my spot here in it.
No such thing. You're not going to lose your spot.
Okay, well,
say anything you want to say.
Okay, awesome. You know, I
have lots of listeners in Canada. We have lots of listeners around the world. Lots of listeners, of course, on radio stations throughout the country here. So,
yeah, there's definitely a lot of good, you got a lot of great hosts over there, that's for sure. But, you know, I look at America today, and I see a fall into tyranny. You know, Greenwald just did an article a little while ago talking about the government's power to now indefinitely arrest an American citizen and without evidence, trial, and put you indefinitely in a military brig. And
unlimited time. As a matter of fact, we've got CBR, Kellogg Brown and Root building these mega prisons along the Texas border. You shouldn't be the house of enemy combatants of Americans that are arrested and detained without charge for no reason.
Yeah, and, you know, it's our failures to really, I think anyway, our failures to understand what are the indivisible truths that we truly share as equals. You know, if we have a governing body of ourselves and we're going to defend ourselves with justice, we need evidence to form our conclusion. Otherwise, you're going in faith. And that's the Dark Ages where, you know, it's a witch. We know she's a witch. I don't know, she's a witch. I agree, I'll kill her. You know, and Portia, and it is really true, the Dark Ages, I'm telling you, as you probably are aware. You know, all we need to do is support evidence to form our conclusion. But Bush just tells you, Bin Laden did it, and that means he did everything. He would have had to have set explosives into Building 7 because we have video of liquefied iron flowing like water from the tower, and I guess so. And according to Tom Daschle and Tim Rutherford's Meet the Press, Bush and Cheney were personally responsible for immediately closing outstanding FBI inquiries to nab the actual true evildoers. FBI isn't being anti-Bush, they're just telling you, they're following the wire transfer that funded the terrorists to fly the planes into the building, and it was financed by General Mahmoud Ahmad, and that's just the facts. So it turns out that Bush and Cheney wanted the investigation closed immediately because General Ahmad is the same guy that the Bush administration sent to the Taliban to tell them no evidence would be brought against the accused. Isn't that a pretty sweet deal? The guy who finances it is the guy who tells us and the world that we're not allowing the Taliban to support American jurisprudence by understanding who actually did you wrong. Instead, Bush demands in faith that you support him, and if you don't, you're a terrorist. But I see it as a bunch of...
Exactly. Who are you going to believe? Him or your own lying
eye? Right.
After never speaking of the Taliban.
Right.
The Taliban visiting Houston, and we know Houston's airport is called George Bush Airport, named after his dad. And that's because his father's library is nearby Texas A&M University. And Houston was where young George would run around and get into trouble with doing the nose candy and doing some serious jack black. And, you know, it's not surprising to me that the Taliban would visit oil operations in Houston, visiting some of Bush's big donors, and then suddenly the Taliban are bad guys.
Yeah, well, they were the best of friends just prior to 9/11 in August. I don't know whether you read it, but Colin Powell gave them $43 or $47 million in thanks for all the good things they were doing. And we knew why they were so friendly in August, is they wanted to, from the evidence anyway, that they wanted to secure a liquefied natural gas pipeline for Enron's interests, and the Taliban side instead for Argentina. Well, that's just what was going on in those days. And then after 9/11 and the subsequent demonization of these people, we were told, you know, we've got to kill everybody who's associated to them, but it doesn't include, you know, the Bush administration financed them only the month prior, and thanks to, hopefully, winning this deal. And that deal meant tens of billions of dollars. And, of course, we know at that time Enron was facing their impending criminal bankruptcy. And with this cash, they would have been able to hide the fact that they were fleecing every American citizen, soldiers included, moving the money to the Cayman Islands with fictitious numbers on the total board. But the shocker to me is even though I sort of understand how the scam went down, they still got away. They still escaped, even though the FBI, you know, the FBI has weaknesses, not because of the officers, but because of the leadership. And that's all, it seems to me that's always the problem. If you can get good officers in the CIA, like with the National Intelligence Estimate on Iraq, the CIA came forward and said, look, the White House doctored the National Intelligence Estimate. Here's the real version. Here's the version they gave to Congress to con your troops to die in an endless conflict war. And some guys have talked about it, but I mean, get all the information on the internet, but it just doesn't go anywhere because the head of the CIA isn't making a fuss, and golly gee, CNN doesn't think it's important either, you know, for some...
Of course not. So when you talk about the Bush administration and the Bush family funding foreign operations that end up coming back and being asked to, it's over there. So that's just naturally. That's a family tradition.
Yeah.
That goes back to, Prescott Bush.
Yeah.
Financing the Nazis and whatnot.
So yeah.
Your family had their hands in the financing of the cookie jars of bad actors for a very, very long time.
Yeah, I know. And that's I'm trying to understand why we can't support ourselves. Like, I'm trying to figure out what's dividing people, you know, and if bigotry and maybe racism or whatever, and people try to blame different things on whatever reason. But we can see that there is trail of death and suffering goes on way back. And it's so shocking that, of course, Bush Jr., he knows his grandfather financed Hitler and then was alleged, I think it was Butler who alleged that they actually had a conspiracy to overthrow the American government. Are you familiar with that? I'm not up on that totally. Okay, but
that was the days of John Foster Dulles and Alan Dulles and the CIA.
Oh, God. And then it goes on and on through there. And it's continuous. But it's such a shock that you can see him at the Knesset saying, Obama's a terrible person for suggesting we should talk to our enemies. And gives the example of the senator who says, if I only could have talked to Hitler, the whole thing could have been avoided. He uses this as an example to not talk to your enemy. And you think about what that congressman could have said. He could have said, look, Hitler, you're being financed by this American banker who's going to just assume wipe out your own the nation, because look at what they've done here at home in the American suffering world, as it was through the Depression. Another subject that people aren't too familiar with, but all the bankers colluded not to give out any loans, so you had to pay outstanding debt, so there wasn't, including interest, so there wasn't any currency on the street for anybody to buy or sell goods, and that's how you went down. And there were complaints at the time where they were trying to push legislation and force bankers to give out loans, but they refused, and that's how they managed to get so much assets, and then off we went to war, and they said, oh, that's what saved you. But these guys, they keep screwing us over, and now we're facing another situation with the mortgage crisis, and I know that people don't understand that the banker isn't covering the loan, like I hear on TV and on many of your talk shows. People will talk about, the banks are losing, everybody's losing, and the reason they give out $1 million loan is because they don't have to cover that initial $1 million, and then you've got to make payments to them, and people don't understand that. They just find it impossible to believe that fractional reserve banking allows a person who has, they don't even have to put in a penny, the major shareholders who scoop up all this cash, and, you're lending money to yourselves, but it's such a hard thing for people to conceptualize. And then it's hard for me to explain because it takes so long. But, in Iraq, prior to the invasion, the Iraq bank, their central bank, what they had is that the depositor was the shareholder. And doesn't this make sense? The assets in the bank put in there by the depositors are the shareholders. So any assets that the bank generates go into those who hold true shares. But in the Western world and everywhere else besides not including Iran and maybe Syria, we just pay them blindly because we don't understand how they're ripping us.
Well, look at the fact that they're basically backed by the government to the extent that you can make all of this money and have all of these wonderful profits and stocks and perks if you run a Freddie Mae or Fannie Mae, and you do the same thing if you're running a bank, savings and loans, the Silverado savings and loan, of which ne'er-do-well brother Neil Bush was a major player, and you can run airlines, and you can run energy companies. And if you get into trouble, the United States government comes along and busts your ass up, feeds you taxpayer dollars to get back on your feet. And then as soon as you get back on your feet, you're screaming for tax rebates and tax cuts so you can continue to rip off everything.
Yeah.
It goes on and on.
Yeah, they need to be bailed out. Yeah, if they need to be bailed out, they'll tell us. And it's just, it's crazy. But there's anything about this naked shorts where the investment bankers today are investing in their own demise? Where there's right now the bankers are going under, but their shareholders the shares are rising. And I don't understand the total mechanism of how this works, though. Outside of knowing
on that, John, is the fact that Chris Cox, the head of the SEC, has put in a ban on short selling 19 specific stocks, and those 19 stocks just happen to be all financial stocks, everybody from Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley to Bank of America and Wachovia and the board. John, I've got to take a break, so thanks for the call.
All right, thank you.
All right, John, and Winnipeg, Manitoba, taking a break, coming back with more.
This is back to nothing. Could cost you everything.
Anyway, let's go to the phone. We've got John in Canada. Hey, John.
Hello.
How are you doing, sir?
Well, I'm doing, I guess, about as crazy as you are.
You know, I'm okay personally, but you know, the world's a mess. We're being rooked by crooks, and that's a fact. You know, they're playing us for fools, that we don't have the intellect to understand how we're being undermined, and it isn't the easiest thing, but in some senses it can be understood very, very simply. As you said, like Paul Portman was saying, there's a 50-50 chance that taxpayers will foot the bill for this loss, right? It was Paul Portman?
50-50 chance that they will not.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, you know, the fact is, and I know it's really profound for people who aren't familiar with this, but the fact is that the bank doesn't cover the loan. And nowhere in the world do banks cover the loan, except with the exception of Iraq, as it was prior to the invasion, Iran, and perhaps Syria. In those countries, the shareholder is the depositor. So any money that's generated in profits go to the people who actually have shares in respect to actual deposits. In our world, you know, in Canada, they just changed it. I've been screaming about this for years, but they just changed it. But for almost a decade, you get 0.02% on your savings accounts at the Royal Bank of Canada. CIBC just screw us over any which way they possibly can, and people think, you know, so people would think, well, that can't be. We have leadership in Congress, and they would demand accountability for these transgressions against our interests. Of course, John, you're just making this stuff up. And the fact is that the congressmen don't take any action because they're part of the problem. You have earmarks, and was it Howard Dean let this go on John Stewart a little while ago? But he was talking about this one instance where a congressman writes a blank check for himself and puts $16 billion in the total, and you don't know what. Well, how can they write a blank check for themselves? And CNN covered this already like a year and a half ago, talking about 40,000 impending checks as earmarks that you as a citizen are not allowed to learn from or understand where that cash is coming from. So they don't want anybody looking too closely at what's going on at the Treasury Department. You know, but all I see is continuous fraud. Like the FBI is reported, or was reported, that the FBI is seeking out if there might be some illegalities, particularly in respect to these fraudulent loans. But the whole system is a fraud. But when you do seek it out and find out what's going on, you've got what are called ninja loans. And in San Francisco, I've seen photographs. There's several websites like this, but I've seen photographs of things that look like tool sheds in San Francisco. They call it a house, but it's sold for $700,000, you know, and they keep changing the deeds over and over and over again. And in the case of ninjas, you're told that you're doing a favor for a ninja. And a ninja is a person who has no identification, no job, no income, no nothing. And so you can't trace back, you know, who's responsible for taking the initial loan. And, of course, if there's no accountability, that money's going out the door. And people wonder, why would the bank give out $700,000 or $1 million loan to somebody who could never pay it back? It's because the bank isn't covering the loan. That's the scam. That's the scam.
You want to hang on, John? Sure.
Sure.
I'll go back to the website. Speaking to John from Montreal, Canada. You know the thing that amazes me, Doc, is if you listen to politicians and you're listening to the talking heads on television, you would believe that our greatest fears lie in some mythical terrorist organization or some country thousands of miles away from the United States that we have to live in fear from. But we should be living in fear of Congress, the U.S. media, and the Federal Reserve.
Definitely.
This is all a distraction.
Yeah, well, they cash in on our stoked blood. You know, all these, you know, I try to keep away, or try, attempting to not cause divisions among the American populace in my political rants. But, you know, these soldiers are being taken advantage of. They don't know what's going on, you know, and they're usually poorer kids who are looking for a way to make a dollar, and they trust that the TV isn't lying to them or misleading them to sacrifice their lives in a needless conflict as the Iraq conflict was. There was no reason to bomb the country, but that's another issue. It's like you say, the TV, they're not what we need is a public educational campaign, firstly, to understand that it's the American people who create the currency, not the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is borrowing the money from the Treasury Department,
So your national debt is how much the bankers owe you, the people, not the people owe the banker. But that's good. You know, a lot of people aren't going to be on that. But like you say, they want us to fear Al-Qaeda. So as a consequence, I don't know whether you're aware of this, sir, but in Iraq, several British soldiers were caught dressed up as Al-Qaeda, killing police officers with a car filled with explosives. They were caught actually killing police officers and were broken out of prison. So they want the Al-Qaeda. And I'd ask Americans to be extremely concerned, particularly your listeners, that, you know, that kind of machination can just as soon happen in an American city. You know, they hire somebody, and why do they do that? For money. It gets you fearful of the boogeyman, which have carry real M16s, and the bankers just walk away with, you know, trillions. In the case of Greenspan and a special frontline did, they were talking about $3 trillion Greenspan issued as a from American currency to the pockets of three of his friends, and it's one of those Hitler-esque kind of things where it's so outrageously huge to fathom as true that just everybody goes, there's no way. And even though Frontline covered it, and, you know, and it to me, it's a criminal offense, the biggest robbery of all time known. But people just, they can't believe it's true, and of course, as I said earlier, of course the congressman would say something as crazy, outrageous as that, but you know, Frontline, they go over to the guy's house, he's living in an Italian marble mansion, there's $1 trillion, and he hasn't yet done a favor for anybody in this universe, but the fact that he's associated to investment bankers and their friends and blah, 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 it's a scam they ran in Asia, but... Yeah, like I said, we're being ripped by crooks, and it's only our failures to communicate with effective leadership to demand accountability that we continually lose out our homes and our lives. In the case of American countrymen and their sons and daughters still sacrificing today.
I often rail against the despots and the dictators in Africa. And how when they achieve a level of prominence within government, the first thing they do is pillage and plunder the treasury of the country while their people starve.
Yeah.
And I'm slowly coming to the realization that there's absolutely no difference between Robert Mugabe, Idi Amin, Obanga Bunga from Gabon, and these various other thugs and criminals who steal from the people so they can go buy mansions in the south of France. I don't think there's one iota of difference between the people in power in the United States and the people in power in Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
I can draw serious parallels between what Robert Mugabe is doing to his people and what George Bush and this Congress and this Federal Reserve and these people in power in the United States are doing to America.
Oh, absolutely. Especially with this, Greenwald just wrote an article about how now Bush has the power to imprison any American indefinitely in a military brig, and you don't have access to a lawyer or even a newspaper because, hey, they're not taking our calls. You know, some newspapers might, but I mean, I've talked to every employee at CBC in respect to Iraq, Afghanistan, 9/11. You know, all it is with 9/11, we have video of liquefied iron flowing from the tower like water. Yeah, there's your evidence. And Bush closed investigations immediately after the terrorist event for question, according to Tom Daschle. They don't care, you know, or they're fearful. They say, it's mostly fear, I suppose. But I mean, they're riding over us, and they think they're going to win. I think they're more attuned into the scooping. I think the continual plundering of America is in part due to their fears also that we might actually get smarter. And the attack on the internet, as it's being portrayed, just coming up these next few weeks, I suppose, they don't want us to communicate well enough to say, hey, we have to return all the stolen money from Iraq. There has to be reparations made for the victims, and we want to bring the 9/11 perpetrators to justice, namely, but one of the top suspects is Tommy Franks. I mean, he was meeting with General Ahmad, the guy who financed the operation just prior to 9/11, as it was just been released a couple of days ago, too. I mean, we need our...
The Pakistani general of the Secret Service?
Yeah. He was the CENTCOM commander.
Yeah, he transferred $100,000 to Mohammed Atta.
Yeah, and another interesting tidbit of information is not only was this guy responsible, as you say, to wire transferring money for the hijackers to fly the planes into the buildings, but also he's the guy that the Bush administration sent to the Taliban to let them know no evidence will be brought against the accused. And they, as Muslim fundamentalists, better stand up to the American flag and demand a way to form their conclusion. Otherwise, Bin Laden is an innocent man to any sentient entity in the universe. You know, there's no evidence to form your guilty verdict. And then Bush says, if you disagree with him, you're a terrorist. No, that's incorrect. And at that time, I call up every news agency I could, and, you know, they don't want to hear from me because they're fearful, I suppose, or whatever, and he commands through fear. You know, people are, they don't understand what the Bill of Rights is. Like, a lot of these principles are based in reason. If you want to follow probable cause, then add the actual evildoer. It's, like, super simple, but I guess, you know, people are fearful. They don't understand. They want to latch on, or they did at that time anyway, not so much now. But at that time, they wanted to latch on to Bush's, or, I don't know what he is to people who supported him then. And even today, I can't even understand how anybody could find support for McCain. And even Obama's got problems, but he's nowhere near as crazy as McCain is in respect to no justice for 9/11, no justice for anybody. You know, they just keep telling us these excuses for why we can't support the FBI's formal conclusion on who financed the operation. I mean, to think about this, so many people have access to this information, and they don't want to tell us about it on CNN. They don't think it's newsworthy for these soldiers who are still, like, you know, they still dying. And some incredibly think that Saddam has something to do with 9/11, and they're getting them back for that. And yet, the guy who finances it, as you said, is from Pakistan. He's working with the Bush administration 2 days prior to 9/11 on their invasion of Afghanistan strategy. And I know that because Jim Mikliszewski was provided the top, anonymously, he was provided the top secret invasion of Afghanistan strategy dated 2 days prior from Condoleezza, 2 days prior to 9/11. From Condoleezza Rice's office on how they would provide no evidence against the accused, and thereby securing a liquefied natural gas pipeline. Now, I don't believe there's any secrets in the universe, and I think just the problem is that some of these arguments get a little bit more complicated, with a few more syllables, and certainly not anybody at RBN, but there's a lot of people that really, the sentence is too complex, and there's too much background information, so they just say, well, I can't believe all that, I'm just going to form doubt. And we lose as a consequence, but I think we can win by, you know, I'm trying to get your listeners, not hosts, but I'm trying to get listeners to support open dialogue on the evidence trail and on the fact that these guys are trying to escape mass murder in America, and we shouldn't let them escape because, you know, naturally, as we're still witnessing, they're up to kill anybody for more dollars taken from our wallet. And, hey, we could save the world. I think together, if we find out that we all share the same interests. Nobody wants to be murdered. You know, everybody's got different political philosophies, but we want to support those who participate in the wholesale slaughter of ourselves indiscriminately. These are bad guys to everybody, and anybody who disagrees with that is not serving America's interests or the soldiers' interests in particular. But it's a crazy world, like I say, and you say too, and everybody else is saying. I mean, we've got all these issues, but...
Yeah, but look, I mean, Rasmussen came out with a poll the other day that said that 42% of Americans support an attack on Iran.
Yeah, I don't believe that, though, you know. Yeah, I'll give you an example with polls. I never believe any of these polls because I know how some in particular are done with CNN and the Bush-Gore, for example, in the election. To ensure that the poll is fair, they make sure half of the people they're polling are pro-Bush guys and half are pro-Gore. Now, they don't hide that. There's nothing secret there. They'll say, oh, well, we do. And so what's your result? 50-50. It's how they, every, it's like quantum mechanics, actually. It's exactly like quantum mechanics. Every time you make a measurement, you're disillusioning, or you're distorting the truth. Like, the more precise you get, the farther from the facts you become. It's a really strange thing. Like, I know in Canada, we had this Quebec, wanted to separate from Canada thing years ago, I think 1992 or whatever, and it was a total fraud. And yet I know on all the news they say 49, 51, 59, 51, 49. You know, who's asking the questions? Where'd they get the phone numbers from? And how, you know, it's so important as to how the questions uttered. Like for torture, I know you had a poll a little while ago saying most Americans are accused. I can't remember what the number was, but a lot of Americans would support torture. Well, you ask them, you support kidnapping people at random and torturing them to death while practicing satanic ceremonies, and you're going to get zero.
And yet we have General Jeffrey Miller, who talks about how he trained soldiers, you know, for whatever psychological warfare reason, or maybe he is satanic, whatever, he's doing that, you know. And we had Willie Brandt and the boys over at Bagram talking about how they just randomly torture people to death because it's fun, you know. You hear them scream for mercy, and we just keep beating them on until they're bum cold dead, you know. So it's all the questions asked is that who would support that? And they sure have. But some of these torturers have some serious psychological issues. And we have to defend the victims that they freely confess to torturing. I mean, come on. So it's so much is premised on how the question is asked. And so when you get questions where it says, oh, the majority of Americans support torture, you want to find out who's responsible for that. Who put that question together? And who did they phone? You know, because that's your enemy. You're trying to corral the masses into fearing your neighbor, into thinking, yeah, everybody's into, you know, sacrificing children at the satanic ceremonies at the Bohemian Grove and whatever, you know. Like, it's just crazy that there are these aspects of religious fundamentalism being expressed in crazy ways that affect real people's lives. And I don't know, maybe I'm getting a little chaotic in how I'm expressing myself, but I think we all can agree that we need to support defending innocent people. I mean, you can't say, well, sometimes you got to torture them because they might be Al-Qaeda and they might know where the bomb is. Well, if you know where a bomb is, then why do you have to torture them? Like, a lot of this stuff just breaks down when you put more thought into it. But those that enjoy torturing people, they don't want to get into the specifics of what the Bill of Rights means truly in respect to the indivisible rights we all share equitably with God or whatever. They're not into that kind of discussion. They just go, hey, I can't be held accountable and this is fine. You know, so again, the question is so important. And how it's portrayed.
Appreciate the call, John. Let's go to Ralph in Michigan. Hey, Ralph.
Hey, guys. Wow, this is really fascinating. I'm hoping I can find the podcast for the show and get what I missed. It's awesome. You know, there's so much of a, I'm going to throw kind of a screwball into this. You know, a lot of people would say that Bush is incompetent in everything he says and does, which is almost true. But, you know, part of the strategy to invade Afghanistan was to provide zero evidence, no evidence. And then the Taliban say, well, you're going to have to provide us a threat that he's connected in any way whatsoever before we hand him over. And that's their strategy, to give you nothing, or to give them nothing, and not you, not allow you as an American to form your own mind on Bin Laden's guilt or innocence. It's only in faith that he takes that from you. And, you know, and according to Tom Daschle, Bush and Cheney personally worked to close outstanding criminal investigations immediately after the terrorist events occurred. So he is incompetent, but look at that. It works. You know, Americans aren't wise enough, and they've had practice at this with the Oklahoma City bombing and so on, where we're left lost in chaos, and whether he's taking orders from whoever, he's providing you no ability to form your own mind. So he does. He is extremely powerful as a total incompetent, because it requires the average American citizen to firstly be brave enough to demand evidence to form your own mind, and you've got all kinds of reasons to fear yourselves. And still, by closing investigations, of course, as any rational person could figure, he's letting the actual perpetrators escape scot-free, because, of course, Bin Laden didn't put the explosives into the building 7, as we have video of liquefied iron flowing like water from the tower prior to the collapsing of the twins. But, great show. I really love this discussion. And like I say, Americans, not the hosts, maybe the guests, but the listeners, have to engage this world and demand evidence and demand the support of the FBI, who have told us General Lamette financed the operation. He's not arrested. He's going away scot-free because he's Bush's buddy, too, who went to the Taliban to say no evidence will be brought against the accused. These practical demons are exposed for what they truly are, and yet we still have, just like it was in Oklahoma City bombing and so on and so on, Saran Saran and everything else, we have the evidence, but there's some reason we don't have an ability to communicate clear enough to make these demands that serve the interests of all parties, no matter what political faction you might be a part of. We're all losing out to this. You know, I personally call him the Antichrist, but whatever. He's not serving our interests well by letting the actual perpetrator escape while, you know, literally more than a million people easily have succumbed to these indiscriminate bombing campaigns.
And, you know.
By design, John.
Right. And we can answer that design. We can answer it by saying, hey, 1 + 1 = 2. You know, it's our sons and daughters, or more so the Americans that are dying. And for what? Our inability, like I say, just our inability to understand these really simple things, of which we've been defeated by just utter stupidity. You mean you closed investigations and you've given no evidence, and if we don't believe in Bush, we're terrorists? Who came up with this stupidity? Who?
Great point, but I tell you what, John, I gotta stop you.
All right.